You're listening to the And I Quote podcast, brought to you by Coterie Insurance.
We will be bringing you conversations with industry influencers and experts discussing a variety of topics focused on our theme, because relationships matter.
Now let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. So excited to have special guest Frank Centner on our And I Quote podcast for Coterie Insurance today. Frank and I actually met through an advisory board opportunity for an insurtech startup when I was with another company. I'm just going to say it. we were working with Tarmica at the time,
right.
Both of us firm believers in that model. And look at the success that they've had. So Frank, super excited to have you with us as a guest. Can you tell the audience about your fantastic background? Because I think your story is the story of innovation and insurance, and I'm excited to share it with our audience.
Well, first of all, it's very good to see you, Bobby. And Tarmica is a terrific success story. First of my startups to actually exit successfully. I've had a couple of exits that weren't successful. for myself, I'm you know, approaching 50 years in the insurance technology space. And so I've seen an amazing amount of change. And with all that, we still seem to be struggling with some of the same problems. I was fortunate to get into the business back in the 70s. That's 1970s, not 1870s. And I was initially in sales. I was a terrible salesman, but I got into consulting. Learned a heck of a lot about the agency business from some really good insurance agents. Agents have been my people for almost 50 years now. And, you know, what I love about them the most is they're such terrific relationship people. They connect with the people in their communities and they, you know, give them the confidence to invest their money in protecting themselves. And so I knew I was going to enjoy that immensely from that point onward. I thought I was smart enough in the early 80s. I left the company I was working with where I'd helped build a system to actually print accord forms. And I went out on my own and consulted for a few years, worked with other management systems, and then teamed up with a couple of partners. One was a technical guy, brilliant, and the other was an independent insurance agent, a commercial agent from Long Island. And together we built a product that is today known as Sagita. It runs still some of the largest independent agents and brokers in the world, and merged it with a division of the Aetna, back when Aetna was actually doing property and casualty, then took that company out, sold it to the company that is today known as Vertafore. That was in 95. I hung around for a year. I'm not a big company person, so I split in 96, went out on my own, and have been on my own pretty much ever since. In 2010, I went inside with one of the first startups that I had consulted with. And those folks today are known work at home vintage experts. And I'm not a good employee. People ask why I became an entrepreneur. It's making a virtue of necessity. And so I left there and went out on my own again, but this time I knew I wanted to work with startups. I wanted to work with entrepreneurs. And it happened to coincide with the InsurTech revolution. And I pivoted my consulting practice from fee-for-service to equities for service. Not immediately. I kept some of my corporate clients. I still have one. Accord is actually my only corporate client. I have a couple of startups that chose to pay me instead of give me equity. But now I'm on the board of 9 startups. It was 10. Tarmica exited in August, got a nice check from that. That was very gratifying. And so that's me. That's my career spans from the early days of computers where they were still feeding punch cards in and mag tape, you know, to now the mobile you know, connected world that we live in. And I've been fortunate enough to work in all of those technologies. And I just love, you know, working with entrepreneurs there, and especially working with entrepreneurs with agents. And that's my primary focus, property and casualty insurance agents. So that's me.
I love it. Agents are just fun people too. Just
sure.
Like in their core, I think it just must be like the role and the personality they have to have that job. It's just, they're just a lot of fun. And so the industry itself, while it doesn't sound super sexy to folks that, you know, are younger and looking for a career, it's fun if you get to work with independent agents.
Absolutely.
So Frank, one of the things that I think is interesting about your career is you worked with Accord very early on.
Yeah.
And one of my goals is to completely eliminate Accord, right? Like from the process. Yeah. How does that feel to create something that we're trying to get rid of?
Well, you know, it's funny. Most agents, if you mention Accord, their immediate association is with forms. And forms is the first thing that Accord did. And it did it at the behest of the industry. Agents were upset with having to fill out all these different applications for carriers. And if they wanted to get multiple quotes, they had to fill out multiple forms. They were all somewhat different, asked different questions. And so they came to Accord, and originally Accord stood for Agency Company Organization for Research and Development.
Oh, I did not know that.
It is no longer that. They changed the name but kept the acronym. It's now Association for Cooperative Operations Research and Development. I wasn't in favor of that change, by the way. But in the mid-80s, they started doing data standards. And that, as someone who really came from outside the industry originally, I had a lot of contact with agents, but understanding the data that you need in order to communicate effectively between agents and carriers, the core data standard that was available then, the AL3 standard, was absolutely essential to the building of Sagita. And frankly, one of the reasons Sagita remains as successful as it is because of that data structure. Yep. It is so rich and it is so standardized. I had a call yesterday with one of the startups that I'm consulting with, and they do proofs of insurance. It's certificial. And they need to get data out of the agency management systems in order to do proofs of insurance. They originally wanted to do it with carriers, but because carriers don't write the entire risk of a business or even an individual, they'd have to go to 3, 4, 5 different carriers in order to get that together. They can go to just one agent because agents normally write the entire risk. And they're pulling their hair out, trying to get data out of agency management systems on a standardized basis. In Sagita, you had a choice. You put in the coverage code, it displayed the description, okay? If you didn't like that description, somebody in central control at your agency could create a coverage code and put in a description. But you, individual CSRs, didn't decide you were going to change the wording, right?
Yep.
As a consequence, the data is far more standardized in Sagita than in other agency management systems where they let you put in a code. It displays a description, but then you can type over it, right? And if it's just a little change, you know, just the wording, but the concept is the same, that's cool. But what if you decide to just put in a code and type the thing that's entirely different? How do I know, as a third party trying to get data out of your system, that what you've described there in text is really, you know, the coverage? And how do I even know what that means? And so I've listened to people talk about eliminating Accord data standards for as long as there have been Accord data standards. And it's sort of like self-driving cars, right? How long have you been hearing about self-driving cars, you know? It turns out it's a little more complicated to drive a car than the techies thought it was, right? So we're going to have logic built that's going to be able to parse. ChatGPT is going to go over and parse all those coverage descriptions and decide which ones really mean what. Good luck. That's all I'm saying. Good luck.
Well, to your point, I mean, the industry still struggles with data standardization. And that's probably what every carrier struggles with. We all have the data. It's just bad. It's not structured well for us to go grab it. And I think that's what's a little bit special about Coterie, because we're grabbing our own data so we can standardize it ourselves, and we don't have humans kind of going in there and messing it all up for us, which is super exciting.
Right. That is a great evolutionary step. But you understand the reason you're able to do that is because somebody up the food chain has gathered data in a standard way. Our industry doesn't have trouble with standards. Our industry has trouble following standards.
True.
That's very the problem. True. And, you know, when the agency management system vendors, some of them who came along later said, this is such a nuisance. Okay. The agents are constantly complaining about the wording and all the, we'll just let them type whatever they want. Not a good solution. Not if you want to reuse that data. And I've discovered, you know, working with Aureus Analytics, another one of my startups, that the agencies don't really care about, you know, data standards, data standardization, and having clean data unless you give them a reason for it, right?
Right.
And some agents are our dear friend, you know, Chris Parody. So hammer the gong of you know, data, clean data. But no matter how much the agency principal says that, if their people, you know, don't have a reason for doing it, if they don't get any payback, it's sort of a burden. But the minute you begin to give them customer experience data, and it comes back and it says something incorrect about one of their clients that they happen to know, and that fact that it's incorrect is based on the data they put in the system incorrectly, they will begin to take ownership of the quality of their data. And that's my hope. My hope is all of these terrific new technologies that we have out there, mobile apps, you know, Matt and Kiki at Insurance Agent App, you know, putting data in the hands of the customer. You want to have a relationship with your customer today, you need to be digitally engaged. Every one of us has one of these in our pocket, right? This thing, by the way, has 1,000 times more memory than my original computer I sold in 1976, right? And how do you connect with them? Well, you connect with them through their phone. What happens when the stuff you put in your agency management system is bad? Well, your client is going to see that. So when we begin to push the data from management systems out into other environments, into our customers' hands, into, in the case of Certificial, the requesters, not even our customer, the requester for the proof of insurance, then suddenly people are going to take ownership and say, my gosh, I got to fix this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's starting to happen slowly.
Slowly. I think one of the hurdles that carriers have had with kind of that direct connection to the policyholder has been the agents, right? There was a time, and I think it's getting better, Frank, but maybe you can speak to this, just to any agents that that are out there that still have resistance towards carriers kind of pushing that data directly to policyholders on their behalf. Like my opinion is an agent is in a position to sell more and be a better risk advisor if they're not doing data entry and all of this administrative stuff. But there's also like this control over the policyholder relationship. Can you speak a little bit to that about like agents that are allowing that to happen versus agents that aren't and where you think they'll be in 5 or 10 years as a result?
Well, undeniably, the agents who embrace digital engagement with their customers are going to be more successful. The problem with pushing data from insurance carriers to insureds directly, potentially, is that the carrier doesn't necessarily or even typically provide all of the coverage that the insured requires. Okay. And I like to, when I talk with Matt and Kiki, what we talk about is the triangle. There's three parties to this. Okay. There's the insured, the agent, and the carrier. And all three have to be in sync, right? So the client, and this is borne out by the really deplorable numbers that carriers have in terms of downloads of their apps. Insurance carrier apps, all of them have failed. Okay? Yeah. They failed. Yeah. And the reason they failed is no insured wants to put three or four or five carriers' apps on their phone. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm a dork. I have all my carriers' apps on my phone. Okay? But the one I use is the insurance agent app because there, everything's in one place. Everything I need to know is in one place. If we all work together to push the data more effectively from carriers into agency systems and from there into the insured system, yeah, we would have the triangle, okay? But if we go just one way, just two parties in that equation, it's not going to work. And there are circumstances where the client should be connecting directly with the carrier, okay? A claim is a perfect example, okay? Yeah. The agent definitely needs to be notified of the claim at the same time as the carrier, but there's no requirement legally or in a regulatory environment for them to be approve that notification, right? So in that case, it should go directly from the insured to both. In the case of a policy change, however, the agent has to approve that. So the digital solutions that we put in the customer's hands have to be cognizant of the regulatory environment that we're all dealing with. And, right, you know, so agents who are not digitally engaged probably won't make it out of this decade. Okay. And I'm not too worried about that, frankly, because agents are adopting digital technologies to connect with their customers on an exponentially increasing basis. They get it. If it's one thing that the pandemic taught us, it was, yeah, that you cannot simply rely on the face-to-face communications. For agents in a town like Chris's Stafford Springs, having the opportunity to sit down with somebody in their office or go to lunch with them or some, those are really valuable. See them at church or at synagogue, you know, at the mosque. Those are all really valuable interpersonal relationships that you, I don't want to make it sound crass, but leverage when you ask them to trust you with protection of their lives and assets.
Yep.
But you can't meet with every person in your community and grow your book of business to a level that is sustainable. And so you have to be able to use all of the tools at your disposal to take advantage of it, you know, to leverage your goodwill in providing the undeniable social good of insurance to your customers.
I agree. And I have had so much fun working with agents who, yeah, are on this train, right, pushing forward, using Aureus, using, you know, comparative raters, whether it be Tarmica, SMC, TetLedge, yeah, Bold Penguin Agent. Like, it's just a ton of fun to ideate and come up with ways on how we can grow books together. And yeah, it's just been a blast.
Yeah.
So shifting gears a little bit, I just personally really want to hear your thoughts. So you've had 10 InsurTech startups that you've worked with over the last several years. What have you learned? Like, what have you learned about being an InsurTech startup? What's fun? What's challenging? And what is your advice for anyone who might want to start their own in the coming years, especially in this market?
Well, I've worked with way more than the 10 that I'm on the advisory board. I do a ton of pro bono work in our local accelerators. And I still have startups that call me, you know, and out of the blue and just have a conversation. And I don't expect equity for that. The folks that want an intense relationship is where I get equity. And I learn every single day. I am really focused. I only work with people who are focused on the property and casualty space and principally through distribution. I did an analysis for Connecticut Innovations, which is our state economic development folks. They do investments. People bring people here to build up our economy. And the company was Rethought Insurance, flood insurance. You would be astonished at what they've done. Absolutely astonished. And they've already proven it by looking at past books of business. The success rate, the profitability rate is upwards of 92% on every property that they approve. Now, they're not afraid of taking a bigger risk, okay? But they're doing it on such a granular basis that the price will determine whether or not they get that business, right? So yep. If they determine that this is a very risky property, they give a very high price, and normally it doesn't get taken, right?
Yep.
Over time, what's going to happen, and these people are going to go through flood like you wouldn't believe, they're going to obviate the need for NFIP for all but, you know, like an assigned risk program, right?
Yep, yep.
What happens to the carriers who don't have a technology like this? Adverse selection. So yep. You're going to be, if you don't adopt a technology like this, you're going to be driven out of business by your own customers. They will bankrupt you. And that's what I see happening with technology every day. Properly applied, it gives such an incredible advantage to the people who adopt it that it, you don't have a choice.
Yep.
And you know, what I love about these guys are they're like, we'll license our technology to anybody. Okay. We're not going to tell you our secret sauce, how we do it. But yeah. Once they don't have a huge number of policies at this point, they're pretty small, but once they get their feet under them and get, you know, a bigger book of business that they're writing, people are going to be knocking on their door, and they're already saying we're going to license it. Okay. They're calling it Rethought Checkbox. Okay. So it's just a remarkable change in the way that you look at risk. The existence of NFIP and the fact that 98% of the flood policies written in this country are written through the government, offering bad coverage and losing their shirts, okay? Yeah. That's an indictment of our industry. And here comes a new technology that makes it possible for us to get back in the game. And you can add all the climate risks to that, which is the most serious emerging set of risks. You can add cyber to it. There's people coming out with cyber that they finally get it. You know, there are all these new emerging solutions where they actually do the cybersecurity, you know, analysis and require it as part of your becoming part of their program. They're just saying, well, why would I do only a cybersecurity analysis and then let somebody else make the money on insurance? I've just identified a good risk.
Yeah.
Now, that's the way you do insurance. Yeah. You make a customer safer, you got them for life. You give them a policy, you got them for one renewal.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, can you tell I'm a little passionate about this?
Well, I'm just nerding out right now. Like, I'm so excited. Just the talk of flood. Here's what I will say. One of the things I've noticed about a lot of new technology that's coming into our industry, many folks are more successful when they're open to sharing, to your point.
Yep.
There is so much business to be had, even in the United States, whether it's flood, cyber, small commercial, you know, sharing those ideas and getting the technology out is super important just for us as an industry, but also the camaraderie amongst insurtechs has been really fun to be a part of.
Yeah.
Secondly, what I have found is interesting is Coterie is using some very granular property data to either accept or not accept a risk, which makes it very difficult for us to communicate appetite to our agency plant, right? Because we can't say, well, that risk is acceptable and a half a mile down the road it's not because of hail. And house or this business has gotten hit by hail 50 times in the last 10 years, and this one has only got hit once.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard for agents to wrap their head around. Like, the granularity of how we're underwriting risk is changing, which is making appetite harder to share and understand. Do you have any thoughts on that, Frank, on like how we can manage through that, both from a carrier and agency perspective?
Well, part of it is educating your agents, and they, unfortunately, the machine learning and I don't particularly like the term artificial intelligence, but you know, let's use machine learning. The machine learning that is being applied to risk analytics today can feel to laymen, insureds and agents alike, like a black box. And how do I know to trust it? You know, why does it work? Okay. I think what you need to do is to be as transparent as possible about what the decision-making process was. So when you give them an unattractive price, you need to include in it, you know, what the reason is. Because the agents are going to understand, you know, they're going to have to go talk to their customer, right? You need to arm them with the explanation for why. Okay. And, you know, the hail thing is that's heaven sent, you know, who knows, you know, people aren't going to particularly be able to do anything about that. Although if the big claim was the fact that they have this nice wide open parking lot with 150 cars in it uncovered, maybe covering the parking lot would be a smart move, right? Especially if you're in a hail prone area. But at any rate, there, it may not be remediable by, you know, human beings, but at least you can explain to them what the problem is, okay, and why the price is where it is. That way the agent can take it to them and say, this is the problem, okay? The agent won't have any trouble at all finding a carrier who doesn't pay any attention to the data and who's happy to write it for way less than you and lose their shirts. So don't worry about the agents. They'll find a market for it, okay?
They always do.
They always do. That's their, you know, secret sauce. The important thing is that you continue on the mission that you're on, which is to make all of the products that you're offering as transparently priced as possible. Okay. Nobody who buys insurance is going to be happy accepting the fact that my credit score is what determines my automobile, you know, premium. Right. Okay. There is a correlation, but not a causal relation. Okay. Between those two things. When we start measuring people's actual behavior with all of the IoT, we have something like, 3 sensors for every human being on the planet right now deployed. When we start measuring all of those environmental conditions, people's behavior, the events that occur through weather, and we begin to use that as part of our underwriting, that sets the stage for us to allow machine learning algorithms to begin doing predictive analytics, right?
Yes.
And I mean real predictive analytics, not that nonsense that we talked about 10, 15 years ago. So this sets the stage for us to be able to make the world safer and to still provide, because you always will need to provide, transfer of risk for those circumstances that exceed the capacity of the individual or business to handle on their own. There are some things that are just not ever going to be able to be mitigated.
Yep.
And so for me, what you're doing is absolutely the right thing. I would hammer it home. Okay. Explain to your agents that you're providing them with the best market possible for their customers. And you're sorry if some people's, you know, risks require a higher price, but that's the way it is. And they'll find a market for it. It's not a problem.
Absolutely. So I have 2 questions left for you.
Okay.
One is, as you look to the next 3 to 5 years in PNC, what do you think, like, we're going through this revolution now. What do you think is going to be the biggest change we're going to experience in our industry over the next 3 to 5 years, Frank?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about it. I think the utilization of data gathered from sensors that are on site at insured locations or on people make you safe. Yep. A great workplace safety thing that will tell you, you know, about repetitive, you know, motion injury, about air quality, about, you know, sound decibels. All of that data is going to start getting into the ecosystem of insurance. We have to get our industry to stop driving by looking in the rearview mirror. Okay? Before we had all of these sensors and all of this data, we had no choice but to underwrite on the law of large numbers, right?
Yep.
Large demographic categories. People get lumped in together. We no longer have that circumstance. We now have the opportunity to actually evaluate every risk on its individual merits. It's going to be a big shift, though. And, you know, you have this law of large numbers where this paradigm, big triangle, the bottom is what determines the premium, right? This,
yep.
this large block of people, things, whatever. We're turning that whole thing on its head and we underwrite on a risk pool of one. That's where our industry is going. Get there soon or sooner, depending on whether you're an innovator or a fast follower, you're golden. Get there late, adverse selection will make the decision for you. You will be bought by one little coterie is going to go buy AIG because AIG hasn't figured it out. All right. And mark my words, it may take, I'm always way early. Okay. Way early. But I would bet anything by the time I'm 100 and I'll still be here in 2050, this transition will have taken place. It will have occurred or be so far down the road that the signs are very, very clear for everybody. You've either decided to really underwrite your risks using the incredible amounts of data that are available here and you know, provide real risk mitigation for your customers, or you will be out of business.
Look at you, Frank. You just sold Coterie for me, both to the market and to potential investors. This is the best podcast I've ever recorded.
I'm a firm believer. I know this is going to happen. It's inexorable. You know, it's like the drivers, you know. I don't like cameras in the cab. Really? You want somebody else's cameras to tell you what you did? Don't you think you should have your own cameras?
Yes.
I think I should have my own camera.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Awesome. Well, my last question for you is a new tradition I started. So everybody has like that one song that gets them hyped up, right? Like if you were an MLB player, what would be that song you'd listen to, like walking up to the batter's box, getting ready to smack the crap out of a baseball?
Well, first of all, I'm old, okay? And I was old when I was young. My parents always told me. I've gotten younger as the years have gone by. And I'm getting younger every day. But I grew up listening to my parents' music, which is from the 40s. And so Annette and I walked up. I love Hartford. We walk up to the center church and we have Baby Grand Jazz every Sunday for free, an hour of jazz from the greatest jazz performers in our region. And yesterday we had a lovely young woman whose name I can't remember, but she sang mostly jazz standards. And so what's playing in my head right now is These Foolish Things Remind Me of You.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
So that's, I, you know, that's what's moving me today. And I always have a song in my head because Annette yells at me for, you know, humming along, you know, an annoying habit, which my mother had, as I remember now when she was my age. So.
Well, Frank, every time I get to have the pleasure of spending some time with you, I'm going to ask you what song's in your head today.
Just good deal. You got it. I'll know instantly.
Awesome. Well, Frank, truly appreciated our time together. Every single time I get to spend time with you, I learn something new. You make me think about things differently through another lens. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for sharing your thoughts and your knowledge with our audience today. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for the opportunity, Bobby. It's great to see you.
Thank you for listening to the And I Quote podcast, brought to you by Coterie Insurance.
We will be hosting episodes with industry experts on a variety of trending topics this year and would really love for you to listen and subscribe.
Coterie Insurance is on a mission to simplify small business insurance for agents, brokers, and our partners. To learn more about Coterie Insurance and this episode, please visit our show notes below.